Please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. The passage is also printed in your worship guide, and I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is the word of the Lord.
Do we have reasons for our faith? Do we have proof? Do we have evidence? Lots of people say no. Bertrand Russell was an atheist, and someone asked him this question. If you stood before God, what would you say? Mr. Russell said, I probably would ask, Sir, why did you not give me better evidence? What do you think? Has God given us good evidence? Do we have proof? Do we have reasons for our faith? In our passage this morning, the Apostle John grabs a megaphone and shouts, Yes! Yes! We have reasons for our faith. I'm going to read the passage, and I need all of the kids to help me. All the kids out there, I need your help. As I read the passage, count the number of times you hear the word testify or testimony. So listen for those words, testify or testimony, and count the number of times you hear them. Here we go. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Did anyone else get eight times? Eight times. John uses the word testify or testimony at least eight times. If it sounds a little bit like we're in a courtroom, you're right. You're right. Jesus is in the dock. But we have every reason to believe. We have every reason to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what John is up to. He wants to reassure us that Jesus is the Son of God. To do that, John starts by calling forward three witnesses. He calls forward three witnesses to testify, and we see this in verses 6 to 8. I'll read those again. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. So the water, the blood, and the Spirit all testify that Jesus is the Son of God. But what does that mean? What does it mean for the water and the blood and the Spirit to testify? Let's start with the water. What does it mean for the water to bear witness that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, boys get this question all the time. No sooner do we walk out of the bathroom than mom or dad, usually mom, asks, "Have you washed your hands?" For good reason, often. Have you washed your hands? And what is mom looking for? Often we say, yes, of course, mom, I wash my hands. Well, okay, show me your hands. Show me your hands. And what's mom looking for? She's looking for hands that are clean. She's looking for hands that are still a little wet. She's looking for hands that show by the wetness that I've washed my hands, or at least have tried to. So the water is my proof. The water, if I did wash my hands, is proof of that. Well, John is saying here that the water is proof for Jesus in some way. The water is proof. And John is probably talking here about the water of Jesus' baptism. Jesus' baptism is in John's mind. Think about it. What happened at Jesus' baptism? The Gospel of Matthew puts it this way. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I don't know about you, but my baptism was not like the baptism of Jesus. Isaiah's baptism a few moments ago was not like the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit flew down. The Father's voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." No one's baptism will ever be like the baptism of Jesus. How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? The proof is in the water. John's point is that Jesus' baptism bears witness that he is the Son of God. John then calls forward a second witness. Jesus Christ came not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. When you scrape your elbow, how do you know if you need a Band-Aid? Well, you look to see if it's bleeding, right? The blood is proof that you probably need to put a Band-Aid on your elbow. Well, John is saying that the blood is proof for Jesus in some way. The blood is proof. John is probably talking here about the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. John is thinking of Jesus' crucifixion, his death on the cross. Think about it. What did the centurion say when Jesus died? Maybe you remember. Here's what the Gospel of Mark says. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." No one's death will ever be like the death of Jesus. When he died, the skies went black. There was an earthquake. Dead people, Christians who had died, came out of their graves and appeared to people. Then, after 3 days, Jesus himself rose from the grave. And what does all of this mean? What does it all mean? It means that Jesus is the very Son of God. So the water is a witness, the water of Jesus' baptism. The blood, Jesus' crucifixion, is a witness. And then the third witness is the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 says, "And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth." What does it mean for the Spirit to testify, to bear witness? Well, John is echoing the words of Jesus here. John isn't making this up. Before his death, Jesus made a promise to his disciples. This is what he said. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. In other words, Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who would bear witness about Jesus. Now, we're learning in Sunday school that God always keeps his promises. God always keeps his promises, and there are tons of promises. Well, because Jesus is the Son of God, he keeps his promises too. 3 days after his death, Jesus rose from the grave. He appeared to his disciples for 40 days, then he returned to heaven, and then, at Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit. He kept his promise. The Apostle Peter said, "This Jesus God raised up, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." So Jesus kept his promise. He sent the Holy Spirit to do what? To bear witness that Jesus is the very Son of God. Back then, in history, the Spirit bore witness that Jesus is the Son. And the Holy Spirit has not had a career change since then. The Holy Spirit continues to bear witness through the Scriptures, through the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. The point is that the Spirit convinces men and women, boys and girls, that salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. Think about it. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? For starters, you're a Christian because you believe that what the Bible says is true. You read it, you hear it, and you believe it. Well, that's the Holy Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit has given you new birth, as Pastor Troy preached a few weeks ago. The Holy Spirit has given you new birth. The Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to see Jesus. The Spirit has borne witness to you through the Bible that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So the water, the blood, and the Spirit all bear witness. Three, all bear witness that Jesus is the Son. But that's not all. Verse 9, look with me at verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. The fourth witness is God himself. God bears witness that Jesus is his Son. What John is saying is, hey, think about this with me for a moment. We hear about a good construction company, and we hire them for our home project. We hear about a good podcast, and we subscribe to it. We hear about a good video game, and we go out and buy it. If we believe what people tell us, how much more should we listen to what God has to say? The preacher Charles Spurgeon said this: God is to be believed if all men contradict him. One word of God ought to sweep away 10,000 words of men, whether they be philosophers of today or sages of antiquity. God's word is against them all, for he knows infallibly. Of his own Son, he knows as none else can. Of our condition before him, he knows. Of the way to pardon us, he knows. The gospel with God for its witness cannot be false. We must believe the witness of God. ask Seth, and he will tell you that he knows his son Isaiah. If someone tried to swap Isaiah for Benton Keel or another little boy here at church, Seth wouldn't be fooled. Seth knows his son. And the point here is that God knows his son. God knows his son and has testified that Jesus is the very Son of God. Not only does God testify, but who also has the testimony? In verse 10, we have the testimony, John says. He says, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. So up to this point, John has been calling forward witnesses. But now, he points to the whole church and says, you have the testimony. You have the proof. You have the evidence. You, by the Spirit, believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You know that Jesus is the Son of God. You know and you believe in him. Of course, not everyone does. Not everyone believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Not everyone has the testimony in himself. And that's why John goes on in verse 10 to say, whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Notice what John is saying here. He's not saying that a non-Christian or unbeliever is calling himself a liar. No, John is saying a non-Christian, an unbeliever, is accusing God of being a liar. To not believe God, to not believe that Jesus is the Son, to not believe God's testimony is like yelling in God's face, you're a liar. You're not telling the truth. That sounds a little bit like Mr. Russell when he said, sir, why did you not give me better evidence? No, God has given us every reason to believe. We have the testimony of Jesus' baptism. We have the testimony of his crucifixion. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit and of God himself. We have the testimony. We have every reason to believe that Jesus is the very Son of God. If that wasn't enough, John has one more thing to say. There is one more evidence, one more proof, one more witness. Look with me at verses 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So what is the final witness to come forward? That final witness is eternal life. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became truly man. He became truly man in space and time and history. He came to walk the road we walk, but to do it perfectly. He came to live the sinless, righteous life that you and I could never live, but to do it perfectly. And not only that, Jesus came to die the damning, undeserved death that you and I deserve to die. He did die. And then what happened in his resurrection? He died 3 days later. He rose from the grave. What happened in that moment? What happened? Jesus, in his humanity, as a true man, received the gift of eternal resurrection, everlasting life. Jesus received eternal life. And the kicker is that God, by his Spirit, now gives Christ and eternal life to all who believe in Jesus. You see, eternal life is not just living forever. To have eternal life is not just immortal life, like the elves in The Lord of the Rings. for example. Legolas might live forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. And why is that? He doesn't have eternal life because eternal life is a person. Eternal life really is a person. Remember what John already said in chapter 1. Probably months ago, Pastor Troy or someone else preached on this. Chapter 1 said, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." In the same way, John, at the end of chapter 5, will say this, "We are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life." So we have eternal life, both now and forever, because we are in Christ, who is himself eternal life. Mr. Russell was asked, "If you stood before God, what would you say?" Let me ask you, what would you say? Do you have the Son? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you don't, God in his word says, believe in him. Turn to Christ. Look to him alone for your salvation. In one of my favorite books, Pilgrim's Progress, the author John Bunyan writes about a man named Pilgrim. And here's what he says. "Now, upon a time when Pilgrim was walking in the fields, he was reading in his Bible. And as he read, he burst out crying, 'What shall I do to be saved?' Then a man named Evangelist met Pilgrim and said, 'To be saved, go to the bright, shining light. Do you see it? There's a narrow gate. Go there.' He was pointing the way to salvation in Jesus Christ." The author goes on, "So I saw in my dream that Pilgrim began to run. Now he had not run far from his own door when his wife and children began to cry after him to return. 'Come back. Don't go.' But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on crying, 'Life, life, eternal life.'" John is saying here, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God has eternal life. So when we stand before our Heavenly Father, our gracious and good Father, what will we say? What will we say? Actually, the better question might be, what will they say? What will they say? Because when we stand before our Father, when those who believe in Jesus Christ stand before the Father, the Son and the Spirit will testify. They will bear witness. The Son and the Spirit will testify that we belong to Jesus and that we have eternal life forever and ever and ever in him. Amen. Amen. Amen.